He swings here and hits the ball well. This one out to left, back to the warning track, and you can say goodnight to it. Crushing it over the left field wall is Cam Williams with his 10th home run of the season, and it's 11-0 Texas.
Welcome back to the Triple Option with RBKD. Country Music Friday right here on the Triple Option with RBKD. Longhorn fans feeling real good this weekend, starting off the tournament with a big win, a huge win, 11-0 over Southern. Big time. They started off fast, two scored, seven early runs, didn't look back because of the efforts of Tristan Stevens. I love these stats. Craig Way, he said it during the broadcast, so I just will never forget it because it was such a mind-blowing stat. It seemed like a fake Wilt Chamberlain stat. going into the seventh inning, that Tristan Stevens was averaging 11 pitches per inning.
That's nuts.
What the hell?
No, I know. Three ball counts.
What?
No.
Either. What is going on? And I saw Joe Cook.
It was more me. It was like one ball counts.
He was keeping up with things. He said, and this is like, he said, Stevens, he tweeted this out at the 7-0 mark, middle of the fourth. Stevens continues to cruise, surrendering a single, but then getting a 4-6-3 double play to end the frame. 46 pitches he had through four. And he needed seven pitches to get out of the third. Just seven pitches. He had faced just
Rod's
10
running errands here.
He had faced just 10 batters in three innings and allowed one hit.
Yeah, disappointing, I would say.
Dude, he was it was disappointing for us because I had like
Rod's
six,
running errands.
I had seven different things that I planned to do. I was like, oh, I got time for this. And as he's pitching, I'm going, oh, damn, I got to get back to the house and let the dogs out because I got to go to work. I thought I'd have till 5 o'clock. I did not. He made quick work of Southern. The game lasted 2 hours and 37 minutes total.
That's a quick one for college baseball.
But that's the way he works, though.
Right. Oh, no, he gets it and goes.
That's the way he's working. So, I think that's why he got the start, too.
So it's not only just throwing strikes and not getting into three ball counts. And he was ahead of almost everyone, it felt like. Once he gets the ball, he is going. And he's a sinker slider guy. He had 10 ground ball outs. But BK, one thing I liked about it, Greg Olson with two G's. He's even that much more of a G than the Miami U guy in the Carolina Panthers. He was talking about how the second time around really was starting guys off with the slider, was throwing the changeup to the lefties. But that sinker is that sinker. You got a sinker, kiddos out there. You can pitch for a long time
and if you can command it. Like if you can command it,
polish it up.
You're gonna be all right, KD. I'm sending it right back to you because on the show yesterday, before this game was played, we were debating how David Pierce would handle Tristan Stevens.
Mm-hmm.
The game itself went the way we expected it to go. We expected Texas to take care of business relatively easily, and it was an absolutely perfect start for the Longhorns. Are you at all disappointed with David Pierce's decision to let Tristan Stevens go seven innings? We were discussing whether or not, hey, if you've got a big lead early, and Texas did, they were up 6-0 after two, 7-0 after three. We were debating, okay, if you have that comfortable lead and you feel like the game's in hand, do you maybe pull Tristan Stevens so you have him ready for sometime later in the weekend if you need him? David Pierce opted not to go that direction.
Yeah, look, I think Pierce has done a hell of a job this year. So it's but yes, some slight disappointment. And he even said on postgame with Craig and Roger that if Mitchell Daly would have scored on that pass ball, which he should have, I almost think that Mitchell Daly felt like that hit, forgot who was up, I think it may have been Melendez was up, that hit him and it was going to be a dead ball. Either way, you got to take home right there. Or I don't know if that was like PTSD from Cam Williams being thrown out at home with that weird ricochet that we saw a couple weeks ago. And it also gets back to when they had the bases loaded and they only got one run out of that, like a double play. You know what I'm talking about, guys? Mm-hmm. I mean, the double play. And that was when, you know, it's 7-0 after three. If you get more separation out of that, you don't have Tristan Stevens throw 82 pitches. I think Stevens is done for the weekend. So if you do get into a game four, winner take all, I'm not sure you can use Tristan Stevens. So, yeah, to answer your question, I was a little disappointed.
I did hear David Pierce before the Tristan Stevens start, after he'd already announced that Tristan Stevens was going to be the guy. He did say he picked him because – he recovers better than any of the other starters. His recovery rate is a little bit quicker than the other starters. And he talked about, because of his pitching profile, how efficient he is in throwing strikes, efficient he is at basically being able to put the batters in compromising positions where he can use his fielding and trust his fielding, that he was the guy because he would work his way through the inning without a lot of effort. He wouldn't put a lot
good nugget there.
You know what I mean? Yeah. He wouldn't put a lot of that really the load on his arm as some of the other pitchers would have done. But I agree with you guys. I don't know why he stayed in there as long as he did. I mean, that's questionable.
I say all this, but this guy's, David Pearce, had a really good feel for this team.
Yep.
And really good feel for this pitching staff. It's hard for me to even think of a time when I really disagree with something he did with pitching. I mean, I think he's played that really well. That whole staff has this year. The other thing, too, traditionally with sinker guys, a lot of them are actually better on 3 days rest.
Good point.
Because of, I forgot what the exact reasoning is, but for whatever reason, 3 days rest, the sinker, they actually have a little bit more of a feel
instead
for
of
it.
The fastball
yeah,
guys.
Yeah, and it doesn't, it actually, it doesn't have too much movement for them. They can actually control it a little bit better.
Here was David Pearce after the game talking about Tristan Stevens and the usage of Texas's starter today.
Not exactly, but pretty dang close. If Mitch would have scored on the wild pitch, pass ball, he'd probably have been done after the sixth and restored a few more pitches. But he's in great shape. I mean, he's telling me a while ago that there's no reason why I can't finish the game and pitch later in the tournament. So his mindset is right, or his mind is thinking correctly. So all's good. We're in a good spot with how we utilized our bullpen and how we utilized Tristan today.
There you go.
Yeah, he's exactly right about the being in great shape with the rest of the bullpen. They didn't throw their three big guys, so they ended up throwing Palmer, Wenzel, and Jared Southard, and their pitching is really set up. My only question now is Ty Madden and that blister, right? I mean, how is that going to affect him tomorrow going up against Arizona State or Fairfield?
Oh,
probably not worth that sounder. But we have a score update from that Arizona State Fairfield game. Top of the first.
Why is it not
on
LA Chin?
You worked there. You tell me.
Is it because it's not Texas? Is that simple? They got the equipment set up and everything. It's the hours. They don't want to pay the other people.
I'm having problems because I was on Watch ESPN trying to watch the Irish and other games, and I couldn't get that done.
Yeah.
Come on.
It's LA Chin, so I understand.
Feed the crackhead.
They're like, dude, we don't want to play. It's a product that's not Texas, so I get it.
They've
got,
but we're going to be playing them.
They've got a 1990s
that's true.
Texas football game to show, dude.
That's true. You could.
When are we going to be able to watch that game?
Every other day.
Nah, that's a good point,
Katie. No USC's on every other day.
That's true.
We do play them, so that's true.
Yes!
I didn't think about that, but you're right. Yeah.
And it's our regional. It's a Texas regional.
It's at UFCU.
Yes.
You got the camera set up.
I mean, it's on ESPN. Right.
You didn't break everything down.
But why not just show it? Who's LHN owned by? ESPN. I think we can get this done.
Yeah. Could be an ESPN bit, but I don't know. Anyways, top of the first inning at the dish, Fairfield. Up 1-0.
I told y'all this team was going to be good.
Hey, what? Hey, I'm just saying, I'm the only one who least said you should be a little bit weary. At 37-3?
The 37-3.
37-3.
You know what? That's
best ERA in college baseball.
That's huge.
You guys show them no respect.
That's huge. Well, I said we're going to find out
they're
who they are.
They're the Rodney Dangerfield of this tournament right now. No respect.
BK and I both jumped on it pretty quickly, like, no, we want Fairfield. And I'll still stick with that. Although at BK's point of if they win 10-1, we're going to find out who they are. Look, the reality is they don't know if they're any good at this level, because they know they believe in themselves, but can we play against a team like this? That's going to give them some early confidence. I'm curious. I want to watch this thing.
Well, you got to go somewhere else.
Watch it on LHN.
To the athlete.
Unfortunately.
Hey, here's another score update, and I think this thing just went final, and yes, it did. Tough day.
Oh, it did go
tough
final.
Tough day for the Pokes.
It's a Big 12!
Yeah, well, the Gauchos don't care. UC Santa Barbara, 14, Oklahoma State, 4.
Makes me want to puke.
Yeah, Mike's not too happy about it.
Those California schools.
Oh, you always got to watch out with them. But usually they beat you 3-2 with 9 bunts and getting hit by 5 pitches because they're sticking their elbow over the inside corner. They matched them.
Is that technically an upset? I don't know how
good
Santa Barbara is. Is that considered an upset? I don't know who was favored in the game.
I mean, Oklahoma State would have been. And BK is probably the only one that's looking at lines for college baseball.
Weren't they a host?
Yeah, they're a host.
Yeah, so they were definitely favored. Okay. That's a 1-4 matchup right there.
That's a tough four.
Well, you know what they say. Don't test the Big West.
Oh,
don't test the Big West.
Why do you
who says that?
If
just
you
get
do,
someone
you best come caressed.
You were so close.
You, really
you could have went correct. Eminem that thing. It always have to be perfectly right.
That's the slogan for the Big West Conference, I think.
Oh, is it really? That's pretty good.
I'm the only person who says it, but it is the slogan for the Big West Conference, I think. Guys, this day, if you're Texas, you couldn't have dreamt of a better opening day to the NCAA baseball tournament.
No.
Not only do you take care of business, you don't tax your bullpen. Your offense looks great. I mean, you did everything right in your game, but you got some help across the way.
Yeah.
The super regional opponent for Texas, should the Longhorns move on, is going to be the winner of the Gainesville Regional, hosted by Florida, the preseason number one team in college baseball. Florida lost today to South Florida, 5-3. So it's double elimination, so they're not out, but they've got some work to do to get out of the Gainesville Regional. Now, if you're Texas, look, you feel like you can beat any of those teams from the Gainesville Regional, but Florida, the best team out of that bunch, they lost today to South Florida, so maybe Texas could catch a break if they're able to take care of business here in Austin.
Great point. I'm loving that. South Alabama and Miami in that same regional are scoreless in the bottom of the fifth. Miami's got some good pitching. Florida, that's one of the question marks about them. And you got to go win four right now, and you're gonna tax your pitching. I don't know if they have enough. They do have some softball hitters in there, and I mean, like,
it's not gonna help in
beer league, beer league softball guys. They can win some games, 15-10.
Oh, they mash.
Yeah, they mash, and they drink as they're playing.
That's
which is
awesome.
Amazing,
man. Yeah. Is that not an NCAA violation?
No, well, they've got a live gator in center field,
okay.
So they just don't care about anything.
That's cool. I like that. I like that. What about the Texas offense, though, guys? Spent a lot of time talking about Tristan Stevens, but you got production up and down the lineup. Every single spot in the lineup reached base today. Zach Zubia, 3-for-4, a couple of RBI. Cam Williams, he went deep. Ivan Melendez, good to see him go deep. You mentioned it earlier, KD, Silas Ardoin having a nice day at the plate. Just you got production from everybody, and we talked about it leading up to the game. It feels like this offense is clicking right now, and it feels like there are no easy outs in this offense, 1-9. You really saw that today, man. Everybody was getting on base seemingly with ease.
Yeah, they were. And the guys that I want to get hot, and Trey Faltini has kind of been already in that mode where his swing looks really good, and it feels like he's coming around. He had two hits, one of those a bunt hit. But Ardoin, who's had good patient at-bats, but it really hadn't. We haven't seen it with hits. He goes 2-for-4, Rod, and look, the real key is if this team is gonna be a national championship type team, Rod, Ivan Melendez needs to be more the Ivan Melendez for May, and that was good to see. He almost hit two out.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. It's good to see him back because he's one of. I mean, a lot of the Longhorns struggled in the Big 12 tournament. Well, they were 21 of 117 in those three games, 47 strikeouts.
Mm-hmm.
But Ivan Melendez and Mitchell Daly, guys who have been able to hit against everybody and have been hot, those guys struggled too. So there was a little bit of anxiety, I think, on the part of Longhorn baseball fans as to were those guys going to show up in the tournament and be the best version of themselves. Already early on, you're seeing Ivan Melendez obviously make his presence known.
Incredible.
So that's a good sign.
It's a great sign. Incredibly productive. Here's a guy who is very productive and can help you out as well. That's Sam Dude with Barton Creek Lending Group. The name to remember if you're looking to refi your home or maybe even buy a new one. Rates are still low, but they're creeping up. So this is a good time to call him. In fact, now is the time. So if you've got a rate above 4%, give him a call. Website's easy to remember. It's homeloandude.com. Homeloandude.com. Maybe the weather affected your house, and there's a lot of people in that spot right now. You can tap into the equity of your home and make up the difference if the insurance is not covering the entire cost of repairs. He does commercial stuff as well, but obviously, if you're looking to refi your home or you're buying a new one, get in touch with him. Very bright, very nice, and he's very good at what he does. It's Sam Dude, Barton Creek Lending Group. Refi in your home, all you got to do is get online and give him and check him out. That's homeloandude.com. Homeloandude.com.
Gentlemen, can I give you all some news?
Please. Is it breaking?
Nah, not breaking. It's been broken for a couple of hours.
Okay.
A lifetime Longhorn assigned himself a contract extension in the NFL.
The Aussie.
Michael Dixon. Nice. About a four-year extension for the All-Pro punter.
Long balls.
Yeah.
$14.5 million in new money. The contract could reach as much as $16 million. The 25-year-old getting it done. First team All-Pro back in 2018. He's been one of the best punters in the NFL. No surprise to any of us. The dude won MVP of a freaking bowl game. He might have been Texas's best weapon in 2017. He's continued to get the job done at the NFL level, and he gets handsomely rewarded because of it.
He does. I've got a little connection here, too. If you peel back the onion on this, so on the surface, you may hear some talking heads say, well, it's not making him the highest paid punter. This is actually a really good deal. There was a cat that got a four-year deal, Rod, and you know this better than we do, that made him the highest, I forgot his name, it made him the highest, you know, paid punter in the league. He got cut his fourth year. This is, if you look at the money and where it's going, this is a fantastic deal. He's got a great agent and a great money guy.
Yeah, I don't know if you want to be the highest paid punter in the league.
But that fourth year is going to be rough.
It's going to be rough. It's going to be rough on you, period, as a punter, because they're always going to look for somebody who's younger and cheaper. But he's phenomenal, man. He's one of the best punters in the NFL. And I think we all knew that. And BK just brought it up. He was a freaking MVP of a bowl game.
Dude, that was a beautiful performance. It was the best punting performance I've ever seen in football history. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. No, it was. It was right up there.
He never saw Eric Slavin in person.
Shane Leckler. I hate to throw that in there. He was really damn good, too.
Oh, I didn't say he was the best punter in history or anything like that.
He could be on his way.
Just a single game punting performance. Yeah. Now, I hated it because that meant we had to punt way too many times.
Way too many.
But the guy throws darts,
dude.
Yeah,
he does.
I mean, y'all remember the mini game in Madden, the coffin corner punt?
Yeah.
I mean, that's Michael Dixon in real life. He's incredible. He's not punting it. He's throwing darts down there. It's always perfect. He leads the league in punts inside the 10 and inside the 5-yard line since entering the NFL. Like, it's just ridiculous how good he is at pinning teams deep.
He reminds me of a golfer who's feeling his game so much that it's like, oh, no, it's going to be at the sticks. It's going to be at the flag, but don't worry about that. It's about the movement I get once it hits the ground. And when these guys are really damn good, you know, Phil back in the day or Tiger, and it's like, oh, no, it's going to be online. Just watch what it does. He's going to get this thing to move right, left, or he's going to kill it. It's just, he is so much fun to watch.
Yeah.
Phil back in the day. How about Phil 2 weeks ago doing that?
Yeah.
Unbelievable throwing darts out there.
Right.
Closest to the pin guy. It's Michael Dixon. So congrats to him.
One of my favorite fakes ever, too. Remember the one in the end zone?
Phil Mickelson?
Dixon with Seattle.
Oh,
when he took off. You remember that, Rod?
Yeah.
I don't remember that. I didn't see that.
All right.
The one where he takes off. Did he get the first down?
Yeah.
Of course.
Good
for him. Of course he did.
Well, I don't know.
He ran a 4.24.
Remember here at Texas, Long Ball Dixon, when he was a young player, went and tried to go for it on fourth down and didn't make it, and everybody was talking about what an imbecile he was.
He also had a negative 6-yard punt.
Game.
Texas Blue against Oklahoma State.
There you go.
Freshman Michael Dixon was not very good.
But then the rest is history.
He figured out the language barrier, and he was great from there.
Long balls, baby. Long balls.
Long ball Dixon, as you call him. All right. Congrats to him. Congrats to Texas baseball. We'll give you more score updates from the Fairfield, Arizona
look at
State
this,
Ryan.
Oh, I see him. He's looking good. Okay.
Is that the fake?
Oh, yeah. Oh, that was a nice fake. Okay, long balls. I like it.
He's got game.
He's got game.
He's got game. It's the Triple Option with RBKD alongside Rod Babers and Kevin Dunn. I am BK Brad Kellner. We've got the BK Lounge coming up next. The best Charles Barkley impersonation I've ever heard, plus the late Friday news dump.
4th and 5, the national championship on the line right here.
Oh, the band is out on the field.
There's the pass to Leitner. Puts it up. Yes!
I don't believe what I just saw.
Auburn's going to win the football game. Auburn's going to win the football game.
Chalmers for the tie.
Got it.
In 2 seconds.
Pass is intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler. Unreal.
Oh, wow. In your life have you seen anything like that?
You believe in miracles? Yes.
Now, it's time to step inside the BK Lounge. Here's your host.
Who the hell is
Brad Kellner?
Baby, if you give it to me, I'll give it to you. I know what you want. You know I got it, baby.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome into the BK Lounge. June 4th, 2021 edition of the Lounge. Alongside Kevin Dunn and Rod Babers. I'm BK Brad Kellner, and this edition of the BK Lounge is brought to you by Audio Visual Consultations. Give them a call, 255-8678, to get the home TV setup of your dreams. All right, gentlemen, before I hit y'all with the late Friday news dump, we've got some audio.
That's a fart.
Well, farts lead to dumps.
They do.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
I think that was Socrates.
Not sure about that.
Oh,
It was Al Bundy.
Yeah.
Ted Bundy.
No, Al Bundy.
Al Bundy.
Any relation?
Bundy. Married with children.
Hands in the pants.
Love and marriage. Yeah, four touchdowns in one game for Polk High.
Look at this guy.
Come on,
Polk,
man.
Polk High, look at Rod.
Come on.
Ted Bundy?
Rod. Al. Sold shoes, man. Great shoe salesman.
Huh.
Yeah.
I'm learning a lot about a serial killer today. This is unbelievable.
Fantastic.
Before we get to our stories today, fellas.
I already respected Rod, but that just went up even more.
Now, thank you, brother. Appreciate
that. I already didn't respect Rod and respect him even less. Guys, this is, I'm a big fan of impersonations. I wish I was better at them. I love guys like Frank Caliendo, who are just voice actors who can impersonate anybody. Like, those guys crack me up way more than they probably should. This is one of the best, if not the best, Charles Barkley impersonations I've ever heard. This one actually comes from a sports radio host in D.C. Danny Ruier is his name. He's an afternoon host on The Fan in our nation's capital. And here is him doing an impression of Charles Barkley during a halftime show on TNT.
This the first half analysis. The half of basketball was played. That's not the whole game. That's half the game. Damon Lillard, he did a step back, but he stepped forward, and then he moved back. He went back about 25 feet. That's probably that travel, but they're not going to call it. Michael Junior Porter, he made a bunch of shots. Nikola Jokic, Joe Kitchen, he's tall. And Nikola Jokic or Jimmy Joe Jokic, didn't foul nobody. That was something. That's a good half of basketball between Portland and Cleveland. Back to you, Ernie.
Dude, how good is that?
That is not even close. By far the best Barkley impression I've ever heard.
Yeah.
That sound, I mean, you could easily trick someone into thinking that's Barkley.
Totally agree. Mm-hmm. If you can't see him, it's just the audio, and you don't give them the context, you would think that's Barkley. You would definitely think that's Barkley.
Yeah, you would. Yeah. That was fantastic.
That was good.
Like, I did not expect it to be that on point.
Oh, no, he's good, man.
Your face after the audio started, your jaw dropped.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Caliendo's amazing. His Gruden is on point. Mm-hmm. His madness pretty damn good. He does another one, too.
Caliendo is great. You know the old show, station we used to work at?
Yeah.
Both of us, we didn't work together, but at some point, Caliendo would come in when Chad and I were doing a show. He did like 2 hours with us in studio.
Oh, when he was like a nobody, still coming up.
He was still
pretty big.
First off, how dare you?
I mean, like, he hadn't made his name.
No, he was pretty known, not as big as he is now, but he was definitely nationally known. Great guy.
Yeah, that's good to know.
Really good guy.
Love to hear that.
I want to play this part one more time.
Hold on. I really thought that, like, you started that by saying, I'm just going to play 10 seconds of real Barkley and then just to either compare and contrast or trying to trick us.
If I hadn't seen the video, I would have thought this was Charles Barkley.
Yeah, I would have, too.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Michael Junior Porter.
And that's a mistake that Charles Barkley would make.
Yes, it is what he would make.
Michael Junior Porter. So great, so great. So there's some audio. Now we move on to the late Friday news dump. How about this, guys? I'm going to read y'all a real headline from a real story. Invisible sculpture by Italian artist sells for $18,300. Salvatore Garo, a 67-year-old Italian artist, auctioned an immaterial sculpture, as in the artwork does not exist, and it sold for more than $18,000, guys. The art is titled Lo Sono, which translates to I Am, and the work finds significance in its nothingness, Garo told Spanish news outlet Diario AS. Said, quote, the vacuum is nothing more than a space full of energy. And even if we empty it and there is nothing left, according to the Heisenberg uncertainty principle, that nothing has a weight. Therefore, it has energy that is condensed and transformed into particles, that is, into us, end quote.
God, the art world tries so hard.
Wow, so it was his idea to put nothing up there and he got paid for it.
These guys are genius.
Yeah.
Wow. Did they frame the nothing? They even put a frame around it? So you pick a frame, or it's just a nothingness?
The artwork was put up for sale at an Italian auction at an art house named Art Right, and the buyer was given a certificate of authenticity along with the instruction that the work must be exhibited in a private house in a roughly 5 by 5 foot space free of obstruction.
Five by five?
So they're just going to,
like, a big space.
They're
too.
Just going to tape off 5 feet by 5 feet and say, here's the sculpture.
Is it a sculpture or a painting?
It's nothing. It's an invisible sculpture.
It's
an invisible sculpture.
Is it a sculpture? Did they specify sculpture?
Sculpture.
Sculpture. Okay, so sculpture. Good lord.
I feel like an idiot. This is a new icon for you, isn't it?
I'm an idiot.
This guy's a genius.
The fact that we didn't come over there, we're idiots.
Smartest man alive. Smartest man alive. He's done this twice, by the way, gentlemen.
Twice?
He also...
Oh, he's got a collection
of
nothingness?
Exhibited and once sold an invisible sculpture titled Buddha in Contemplation.
Wow.
And it was marked by a square of tape on a cobblestoned walkway.
This guy is awesome.
And he sold that, too.
And the people that are art collectors and want so desperately to be part of that world... You can really take them that far. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Yeah, because they will do anything just to think that they're separate from everyone else in terms of just how brilliant they are in terms of understanding art.
This is a new low even for the art people, isn't it?
It is, but if it was going to happen anywhere, it's going to happen there.
Some of the stuff that qualifies as art makes no sense to me.
No.
Most of the stuff that qualifies as art makes no sense to me, but at least it's something.
Yeah.
At least it's tangible. This is invisible, and somebody spent more than $18,000 on it.
You know what art is to me?
Wow.
That Earl Campbell painting.
That is art.
That's art.
Earl Campbell highlights are art.
That's art.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Invisible sculpture, not art. We move on late Friday news dump. Yeah, you know, I should play this.
Where are we at in society today?
In addition to, you know.
Somebody's got too much money, though. They just want to spend it on something. It's burning a hole in their pocket.
Pablo Escobar.
Yeah, exactly. Literally. Yeah, he's right burning the money.
How about this, guys? In the least surprising story ever, Johnny Manziel admitted to taking money while he was at Texas A&M.
That's shocking.
No.
That's right. Johnny Football is coming clean about past. He was on a Barstool Sports podcast titled Bussin' with the Boys. He said he was approached prior to the 2013 season by a guy who asked if he'd like to make $3,000. Johnny Football said, quote, I may or may not have gone back to this guy's condo in South Beach and signed probably 10,000 pieces. In return, he gave me $3,000, end quote. First of all, horrible deal. 10,000 signatures for $3,000. Like, that guy conned the hell out of Johnny Football. But Johnny Manziel did say on the podcast.
This is on South Beach. You may have had something else for him, too.
Yeah, probably right.
There you go.
Right? You thinking along?
Ding, 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 ding.
He also said he only had $65 in his bank account at the time. So maybe some desperation there from Johnny Manziel.
I thought Johnny Manziel had a little family money.
Yeah, he did.
Because they cut him off, huh?
They cut him off.
How much would Manziel have made with that open doors thing we're talking about earlier?
A ton of money. Yeah. He was on, wasn't he like on Time? Didn't Time Magazine have Johnny on the cover?
No. Time hasn't sunk that low, have they?
No.
Not even a shot at Johnny. It's just any athlete, any college athlete.
Maybe I was wrong about that.
Yeah. So he said, quote, we're doing it all sneaky. We didn't want to get caught. We were trying to learn from everybody else who got caught, end quote. And apparently, while Johnny Football was signing autographs at that guy's condo.
I think they did.
Oh, you're gotta be kidding me.
I was
Time
right.
Magazine?
Time Magazine, Johnny Football, it's time to pay college athletes. That's what was the caption.
Okay.
You're good, man.
I remember this.
At least it was that and not like.
I think I remember how absurd it was. I was like, Time Magazine and Johnny Football? Good God.
At least it was that. At least they used it for a good cause.
Cover story. He'd have made a ton of money.
Yeah.
Anyway, continue.
No doubt
Sorry.
About that. But no, he was signing autographs for this one dude and then somebody else. Came up and told him that he was getting effing ripped off. So the guy passed him the phone number for another guy who said he would pay Johnny Football $30,000 for signing.
So while he was signing, a guy comes up and goes, how much are you making? That's it?
Yeah.
Dude, you're getting ripped off.
Uh-huh.
Go talk to this guy. You're going to make more money. So he was getting ripped off, though.
He was.
$3,000, that's it?
For 10,000 signatures.
Yeah.
Dude, you're getting ripped off. Come on, Johnny.
I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't sign 10,000.
Me neither.
For $3,000. I wouldn't. That's twice my yearly salary. Manziel said he went ahead and contacted the unnamed man. He met him at a hotel, and he signed a bunch of extra stuff, too. And in classic Johnny Manziel fashion, he sent a message to the NCAA in his podcast appearance.
Good for you, Johnny.
He said, quote, "We went 9-4 the next year, so if the NCAA wants to take my effing 9-4 season away, my Chick-fil-A bowl against Duke, effing blow me." End quote.
That's why he's my second favorite Aggie of all time. I do kind of like
Glenn,
Johnny Manziel.
First,
Aaron
right?
Glenn's my first, but Johnny Manziel.
Isn't he too old to be saying stuff like that?
No, the NCAA deserves every insult that everybody ever throws at them. They're disgusting.
I kind of agree.
They're deplorable. They're a borderline criminal syndicate. Do not give them any love.
I'm not giving them any love. I'm trashing a 27-year-old for saying somebody can effing blow him in an
27
interview.
He's 27.
I'm 27. I don't say stuff like that.
No,
I haven't said stuff like that since I was 18.
Yeah.
But he's Johnny Manziel.
Oh, you're right.
He's like a reality TV star in the making. He needs to go on The Bachelor. That's what he needs to do.
I'm just glad.
Well, he's already stooped to making eighth-tier insurance commercials.
I know.
So.
The Bachelor would be perfect for Johnny.
Manziel is not worried about any speculation that his Heisman Trophy could be revoked.
He hates Johnny Manziel like this.
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
He's not worried about his Heisman Trophy being revoked. And he said the NCAA can blow him again if they threaten to take away his Heisman Trophy.
Somebody doesn't like the NCAA.
No, he
doesn't.
Mm-hmm. So there you go. The least surprising story of all time. Johnny Manziel made some money while he was at Texas A&M. He should have made money. He made them a lot of money. He was the biggest figure in college sports for a couple of years.
Exactly.
Good move by him to at least cash in on it a little bit.
I just hope he got everything kind of straight with his life, because that at some point that wasn't funny, even as a Texas fan. It's like I don't root for humans, you know, for demise of people.
Mm-hmm.
And it just got to a point where I'm like, get your stuff together. And hopefully he has.
He got divorced.
Well,
she divorced him. She claimed
that's a start.
She claimed he was being, unfaithful. Infidelity may have been a cause of that.
Okay.
He's single now. I think he should go on The Bachelor. If he would go on The Bachelor, the ratings would be probably the highest ratings in the history of The Bachelor. And The Bachelor would do it.
Agreed.
They would do it. They would do it.
That'd be smart on both ends.
Exactly. So just do it. Emmanuel Acho would host it. You have an Aggie and a Longhorn. Done!
Oh,
you're welcome, Bachelor. Take it and run with it.
Good call.
I don't even want any money for it. Just take
it. Good call. You know, at some point, can you imagine if, like, let's say Ted Williams, they get that head thing working and he comes back and it's like, do you guys have a show where you have to get married? Like, do you realize how crazy that is as a society? I mean, I know we're stuck in it, and it's like anything when you're stuck in the rut, you don't realize how insane it is.
Yeah.
Like, there are going to be historians down the road when this civilization finally, or America finally just hits the point where we go too far, they look back and go, yeah, that was a sign right there.
That was a sign. Yeah. Hey, Charlie Strong told you. Social media. Sign.
Charlie's right.
Downfall of society.
The downfall of society.
Shout out. Shout out Charlie Strong.
He's got a lot of shout outs today. Like
he
five.
Has.
Yeah. Shout out for him leading South Florida to an upset win over Florida.
Okay.
Charlie.
That wasn't. Original. No.
Charlie.
That's not Charlie Strong, guys. That's not him. He's not there anymore.
He'd be a great...
Well, he's still in Florida, actually, technically.
Yeah.
Just not in South Florida.
Do I give Willie Taggart love? Who gets the love here?
Hey, there's no coin toss in baseball.
Come on!
He's the one that was ripping on him earlier.
So unnecessary.
Unnecessary.
Who was the player that went out there? That guy should get some of it. Who was it? Desmond Jackson?
I'm not going to tell you.
I don't remember who it was. I just threw somebody under the bus. Who was it?
I'm not going to tell you.
Damn it.
It wasn't Desmond Jackson.
Honor Landry.
Sorry, Desmond Jackson. It wasn't you.
I can't remember. I'm mad at myself.
I can't remember either. KD, who was it?
I actually don't remember.
Okay.
And you know what? I was there on the sideline.
I don't remember who it was.
And I don't remember who it was.
CB's going to hit us up right now.
Yeah, he's going to
throw somebody under the bus.
By the way, that's Charlie.
That's on Charlie.
That's on the coach.
It's on the whole damn staff.
If anything, don't send someone out there to know what the hell they're doing.
Exactly. Pick the smartest guy on the team.
Right. Pick someone who's not going to play at all.
There's your late Friday news dump, gentlemen.
Good job.
What? Necessary.
Howard Dean, get in there.
Come back and wrap up the show next.
Pop a top again.
You mind if I have some of your tasty beverage to wash?
Oh, yeah. I've been known to drink a beer or two.
I think a man working outdoors feels more like a man if you can have a bottle of suds. It's only my opinion, sir.
I got beer.
I got bottled breast milk.
Why don't we start with the beer?
Okay.
It's 5 o'clock somewhere. Wait, it's already 5 o'clock here. It's time for What's on Tap.
How about a nice cool drink?
That's really good.
That's good.
That is... Mm-hmm.
Papa Top again.
Welcome back to the Triple Option with RBKD. It's time that we are done for the week, but it's time to let you know what's on tap, and we'll do that. We'll also get you caught up with some scores from college baseball, and we'll let you know our plans for the weekend. If you missed any part of the show or any part of any of the shows, please go to hornfm.com, and you can catch up with all of them on the podcast page there at hornfm.com. All right, KD, what scores do we need to know about before we wrap things up?
All right, let's start with the Austin Regional. Winner will take on Texas. That's scheduled, in as long as there's not rain, for tomorrow at 6 o'clock, 5:45 pregame, right here on the Horn. Rod, you're gonna like this.
All right,
Fairfield still leading Arizona State 1-0. Arizona State batting in the bottom of the third. So, okay. All right.
Just throwing it out there. They do have the best ERA in college baseball.
I know.
Y'all think there's some scrubs over there.
No, we just didn't know. We didn't know.
Fairfield Stags. Y'all call them the Fairfield Scrubs.
I thought you were going to say something else.
What was I going to say?
Yeah,
Jags? Fairfield Jags?
Yeah, Jags.
This is the Jags. This is the Stags.
Just another guy.
Okay. BK was thinking something very dirty.
Not that.
Yeah, he was thinking something really dirty.
Jags.
The Jags.
Just another guy.
There's just some Jags out there, but they're not. They're Stags right now.
Thank you, Rod. McNeese is leading TCU 2-1.
Yo.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That game is in the bottom of the third. Yeah. Miami. We've talked about how Florida lost to South Florida early on, and the winner of the Austin Regional is going to take on the winner of the Gainesville Regional. Miami leading South Alabama 1-0 in the bottom of the sixth. I heard Craig talk about it in postgame. South Alabama is a pretty good team. That's going to be a good matchup.
Yeah, USA. Team USA taking on Miami. Absolutely. what am I supposed to say here? Am I supposed to say anything here?
I don't know.
What you doing this weekend?
Yeah, what are you
What's
doing?
What's on tap?
Oh,
I'm watching the Mavs tonight.
Oh, Mavs are on tap. That's
true.
Yeah,
big one. Game six tonight. Hopefully they don't need a game seven, but by the time we're back here on Monday, we'll know who's moving on from that series. The winner will take on the Utah Jazz, so we'll be watching NBA playoffs. Game one tomorrow of what I think is
Bucks.
Far and away the most intriguing second-round series.
The Bucks-Nets.
Bucks-Nets.
That's going to be – that's like a finals.
That's a great second-round series.
That is a great series.
Any year, that's badass.
Two legit championship contenders making it out in round two. So that starts tomorrow.
That's must-watch television.
A lot of college baseball this weekend, guys.
Guys, I got bad news. Bad news. Mm-mm. The Blue Hose. Yeah.
What happens to the Blue Hose?
The Blue Hose are taking it on the chin.
Oh, no.
And Hose got fisted.
Vanderbilt leading them 6-0.
I'm a big fan of the Blue Hose.
I know.
Since they made that
Presbyterian.
Presbyterian, yes.
Yep. Presby.
And they really are the Blue
Hose. Is that what people call them?
The Presby Hose.
The Presby
Hose.
Nobody calls them that. And they're called Blue Hose because of the pantyhose, the socks they wear, people.
H-O-S-E.
Yeah, in case y'all were wondering.
That's exactly what it is. But that really is their name. So we're seeing a lot of upsets, man. Tennessee is struggling with Wright State. Tennessee is the number 3 overall seed, just one notch behind Texas. So college baseball, pretty competitive. I'm hoping if Texas gets through tomorrow, that you win that second game, you are put in a spot where if you don't win the regional, it's on you.
Why should you remember, KD, the head football coach of Presbyterian? Why should you know his name?
Oh,
this is easy. We went through this when BK was out.
Kevin Kelly, because it's my name.
Exactly. The head football coach of the Blue Hose is Kevin Kelly.
That was my onside kick. All right, that's going to do it for us. We've got baseball, obviously, on the Horn this weekend, so enjoy that. Once again, Texas taking on the winner of Fairfield and Arizona State, and that'll be tomorrow at 6 o'clock. Quick little update here. Arizona State, the Sun Devils, with a run in the bottom of the third. They are tied at 1. That's on ESPN3. We appreciate everyone listening. Get to hornfm.com. You can check out all the shows and the Saturday lineup tomorrow. Saturday lineup's really strong, and you can check all those shows out. For Rod Babers and for Brad Kellner, I'm Kevin Dunn. Y'all have a great and dry weekend. Peace.
You can go get the hell on.